Kevin Crawford. This is my wife, Taryn, my son, Cade, and our daughter, Tegan. Today we're reading from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For us to a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Together. And Father, thank you for this Advent season and for as we light this candle of love, may we be reminded of your great love for us. And God, if there's anyone here that is questioning that or doubting that love for them, that you would just cause their heart and their mind to focus on the cross this morning. Because nothing says that we are more loved and more approved and more accepted than Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. Father, I pray that this morning as we look at your word, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to embrace and minds to critically process. It is what you have for us this morning. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, this afternoon, for those of you that signed up to be part of our Youth World outreach, we're going to meet at Target at 2 o'clock. And if you'd still like to sign up, we still have some kiddos that need to be shopped with. And what it is Youth World is an inner city ministry in Dallas, and they bring some kids over and you will pair you off with a kid and you just walk around and you have a $75 to $100 budget that through your generosity, we're able to do this. And you shop with them and what they want, because chances are this will be their only Christmas that they get. And you'll pick out some toys with your kids and unpackage those and take all the wrap, you know, all the boxes out. And so those things cannot be returned. And you'll find the designated checkout line. If you want to put some more money to that, you can. Don't feel like you have to do that. We'll work the coupons and all that kind of stuff. So that's this afternoon. And then also, a couple of weeks ago, I hope you received a letter in the mail from us. We don't send a whole lot of mail out. But we send out an end-of-year giving letter. And what our focus is as we close out 2024 is, you know, for the end of the year, we would ask you guys if y'all would pray and that y'all would give towards camp in 2025. And our goal this month is to raise $133,000 for camp so we can kind of put 2025 camp behind us and get it paid for, because if we charge families everything that goes along with camp, camp would be over $850 per kid. But as a church, we offset that to make it more affordable. So we don't charge for transportation. We don't charge our counselors to go. We don't charge for the whitewater rafting trip. We also offer several scholarships because we don't want finances to ever be a reason why a kid can't go to camp. So would you just prayerfully consider giving towards that? Now, above and beyond what you normally give, and so that we can kind of raise that, set that aside, and really focus in on 2025. That's kind of what we're focusing on as we end the year here. So enough about that. Well, and last week we kicked off our series called A Thrill of Hope, and what we're doing over the next few weeks is we're looking at some of these classic Christmas songs and the story behind them. Now, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas music. I mean, who couldn't love Christmas music after Friday night, right? I mean, Tavern Carols, woo! I mean, and the band did such a great job, and you guys did a great job of inviting your friends. I've met so many people that your coworkers and your neighbors and your friends, and you know, as we got to talking, you know, they. They said, "Oh man, we want to check you guys out." We were like, "Man, we'd love for that." And I only talked to one person and said, "Yeah, I went to Gospel City once." And I was like, "Just once? I mean, what was it? You know, that you didn't like?" But y'all did a great job, and want to encourage you to just go one more step and invite them to come to Christmas Eve, one of our four Christmas Eve services, to come with you. But I love Christmas music. I love it hearing played at the grocery store or in a retail store or in a restaurant. In fact, I'll start singing along. And who can't be happy singing Christmas music, you know, and sometimes people start singing along with me. And now I know there are some people that probably don't like Christmas music, okay? And if that's you, we'll pray for your soul, that dark, small heart of yours that you have. But Christmas music is great. And one of the reasons why I love it so much, especially like hearing it in the grocery store and singing along with it, is every now and then there'll be a classic Christmas carol being played, and these songs are so rich in the gospel. And just, you know, in that moment, I want to encourage you, as you start hearing Christmas music being played in the grocery stores or retail stores or restaurants, when that classic Christmas carol comes on that's just rich, like Come All Ye Faithful, it's so rich in the gospel, or Oh Holy Night, that you would just kind of offer up a silent prayer and say, "God, would you have these lyrics just land on everyone's hearts, not just their ears, but their hearts at this moment in this store or this restaurant or this wherever I'm at." Here the gospel being played over the speakers and with this Christmas music. And now I'm not a freak about Christmas music. I mean, I'm not going to listen to it on December 26th. Okay. It's got its time. Okay. It's got a shelf life, you know, from like November 1st to December 26th. You know, I can listen to it. I listen to it in July when I'm writing the Christmas sermons. But other than that, I think we need to make sure we don't go crazy about it. But today we kicked off our service with "O Come All Ye Faithful," and it was originally written in Latin. And as you can imagine, it really didn't take off being in Latin. But in 1841, it was translated to English, and it just spread like wildfire throughout Europe and in America. And we still sing it today. But the first line, when you really think about the first line, it can sound and can feel a little daunting, because it says, "Oh, come," which is an invitation, "all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant." And so many times, especially at the Christmas season, we can feel anything but faithful, joyful, and triumphant, right? I mean, if we're just being honest, I mean, there are times in our lives that we don't feel very faithful. We don't feel very joyful. We don't feel very triumphant. And, you know, maybe for you, it's with the faithful side of things right now in your life. And maybe you're really struggling with a faith issue. Maybe it's a health issue or a financial crisis, or maybe you're wrestling with something, you know, causing you to doubt God and His presence or His provision, or even if He really cares for you right now. That there's just some circumstance in your life that's causing you to well up with doubt, you know. And so to sing, "Oh, come all ye faithful," I feel anything but faithful. Or maybe for you this Christmas season, it's joyful. And this Christmas season just doesn't seem very joyful, because the holidays can be so difficult emotionally. Maybe you're dreading seeing that family member that you hadn't seen since last Christmas. Or maybe you're dreading sitting down for Christmas dinner because you know you're anticipating that empty space where that loved one always would sit, and they're not here this year. And so, or maybe it's just the busyness of the season. Maybe it's, you know, this Christmas party and this work party and this school party and this school party and this school party and this school party and you know, this choir performance and this band performance. And or maybe it's just all the shopping and you don't have time to be joyful right now. Or maybe it's feeling triumphant. And we sing that, "Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." And you feel anything but triumphant. Defeated is more like it. And we just feel, maybe you feel defeated this morning. You feel defeated in finances or your marriage or your singleness or your relationships, or you feel defeated at work or at home, and you just kind of thought you would be in a different place by now. But as we look at this song this morning, just this first lyric, this first line, I want us to ask a question. And the question is, who does Jesus call to himself? Who does Jesus call to himself? And the good news is that he doesn't just call the faithful and the joyful and the triumphant, but he calls another group of people too. And the first group of people that he calls, and there's no, like, let me give you 3 points up front. We'll unpack them as we go on. We're just going to kind of throw out a couple of points as we walk through these lyrics. But the first group of people, and here's point number one, is he calls the weary and the burdened. That Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." Does that just settle on somebody's heart today? I mean, I don't know about you, but man, this past week was a busy week, and the weekend was a busy weekend, and last night was such a disappointing night for me when it came to the Longhorns. And so I feel a little weary and burdened this morning, you know? But Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says to the Pharisees, the experts in the law, he says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." So Jesus, he calls the weary and the burdened and the sinners. I mean, it's almost like we could rewrite this song and have it say, "Oh, come, all ye sinners, weary and heavy burdened." I mean, I know you're shocked right now that the band didn't invite me to sing on Friday night. Sometimes it feels like that's how the hymn needs to go. But the good news is, even though Jesus calls the weary and the heavy burdened and the sinners, he doesn't leave us there. He may call us while we're weary and heavy burdened, or realizing I've tried everything known to man to fix my problem, but I'm still not getting anywhere. Nothing's working for me. But see, when we call upon him, in other words, when we place our faith, our trust, our confidence in him as our Savior, that 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," and you're in Christ when we put our faith in him, when we put our confidence in him for salvation and forgiveness of sin. "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here." That Jesus invites us through faith in him to become a new creation. And he doesn't just make us a new creation, but he helps us become this new creation. So let's look at these lyrics real quick. It says, Jesus, point number two is that Jesus helps us become faithful. He helps us become faithful. He just doesn't say, good luck. But he's involved in the process. Hebrews chapter 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. There's a lot of things at Christmas time to fix our eyes on. But here the writer says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And in that verse, all the pressure, all the responsibility, I have to try my hardest and I have to perform is taken off of us. Because what this verse is saying is that Jesus starts our faith journey and he's going to see us through it. That he calls us to himself and he's going to transform us. He gives us faith and he's going to cause that faith to grow. Now that doesn't mean we can just sit back and not do anything. There are things that we need to do that would help us become more faithful, like reading our Bible and praying consistently and being part of a local body. But Jesus is the one, he's the author. It's where our faith begins and he is the perfecter. He will cause our faith to grow. You know, we're like, well, how does Jesus cause our faith to grow? Well, I'm glad you asked. Romans 10 says, faith comes from hearing the word about Christ. that your faith is growing right now. My faith is growing right now when we just hear the word about Christ. Hearing God's word builds our faith. And maybe you're here today and the holidays tend to magnify your weariness or your loneliness or your brokenness or your hardship or your difficulty. But today in particular, you may feel anything but faithful. In fact, truth be told, if you're not even sure if you have much faith in God left for some of us. And if that's you, if that's starting to resonate with you, please hear this scripture. Isaiah 43 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames, they will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. See, in the process of just hearing God's word, our faith is being built up. And you may be like, I get it, Mark, but man, I'm just in a place right now. I don't even feel like reading God's word. I don't feel like reading the Bible. Okay, download the Bible app and just listen to it. Just listen to it being read on your drive to work or your drive to school or on your lunch break. Just listen to it and allow the word of God about Christ to build up our faithfulness. Another way that God builds our faith is through circumstances. Romans 8:28 says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to work out the way we want it to work out, but it does mean that God is not going to waste one tear. He's not going to waste one hardship. He is going to use that to build our faith, our trust, our dependence upon him because he is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do. So Jesus helps us become more faithful, but Jesus also helps us become more joyful. Galatians chapter 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. You see, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. It's one thing. We get all of that. Okay, just like an apple tree produces apples, the Spirit of God produces this in us. When we put our faith in Jesus, God puts a Spirit in us. And in that, we have the characteristics. We have the fruit of the Spirit, the list that I just read of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. It's all right there in us. We just need to activate it. We need to give it room to grow. We need to get room to breathe. We need to be reading the Bible and let that fruit grow in us. We need to be praying and let that fruit grow in us. You see, joy comes from having a right relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus. And you know, there's a difference between joy and happiness, right? I mean, happiness, we all want to be happy, okay? But happiness is dependent upon circumstances. And if our circumstances aren't real good, then we're not going to feel very happy. But if joy, we have joy as a byproduct of faith in Jesus, joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. Joy is founded and dependent on Jesus. And we see that in the Christmas story. Is that Luke chapter 2 says, but the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great what? That will cause great joy for all the people. Who falls under that category? All the people. Just raise your hand if you fall under that category. If somebody's not raising their hand, just give them one of these because we all fall under that category. It says we all fall under this category that it will cause great joy for all the people. And again, it's not joy that we have to work for or that we have to earn, but it's joy that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. It's through faith in Jesus as Savior that we have joy because someone has come to rescue us from our sin. And the last point is that Jesus, he helps us grow, become more triumphant. See, I know we don't always feel very triumphant. I mean, many times we feel the exact opposite. We feel defeated. But we need to remember this morning who gives us the victory. See, we don't earn the victory over sin and death. We don't earn the victory. Jesus has already accomplished the victory. And when we put our faith in him, he gives it to us. Isaiah 9, we've already read it this morning, but Isaiah 9 is, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, the prince of peace, and of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. That he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. See, that's pretty triumphant, because this scripture is prophesizing about this sweet, precious baby we see in our nativity sets around the house. This prophecy is telling us that this sweet baby that we see lying in a manger would one day grow to become a man who would offer his life for ours. That this little baby, as he lays there in the manger, he is in that moment the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the creator and author of creation, and he is the creator and author and perfecter of our faith. He is our bread of life. He is our salvation. He is the risen king. I mean, can you believe a king sacrificed his life for his subjects? And he is the triumphant one who gives us the victory over sin and death. And so when we embrace this song, when we embrace this truth, yes, the invitation is, oh, come, all ye faithful. Why? Not because we are faithful, but because he is faithful even when we're not. That he has been faithful for us. And when we put our faith in him, there's this cosmic trade at the cross that he got our unfaithfulness and we get credit for his faithfulness. So, oh, come all ye faithful, be joyful, because joy does not depend upon anybody's circumstance, but joy is dependent upon him, because he came and rescued us from our sin. And be triumphant, because he has secured a victory for us through his life, his death, and his resurrection. He came and he lived the life that we can't live, and he died the death that we deserve. And when we put our faith in him, the sting of death, the fear of death has been conquered. Because if anything, death just puts us into the arms of our Savior. So, oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant, because that is who we are in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word.